स्वः तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यम् भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्।
It was one occasion inside the interview room when Bhagwan was with Sumit Tapo. I don't know if you have heard of Sumit Tapo. Sumit Tapo is a playback singer. He was with Bhagwan, one-to-one conversation, and Swami asked him, do you know what the Gayatri Mantra is? Can you chant the Gayatri Mantra? And he said, yes, Swami. Swami said, chant. And he was, at that time, massaging Bhagwan's feet. He had that opportunity. And he chanted the Gayatri Mantra, and Swami said, no, not like this. And then Swami himself started chanting the mantra. As Bhagwan started, he was massaging Bhagwan's feet. He felt that Bhagwan's body is actually getting warmer.
Tat savitur varenyam.
Now Bhagwan's body was getting hot. He was wondering how to continue the massage. It's a chance that he's got, but so difficult.
Bhargo Devas.
And now Swami's body is so hot, it's like molten iron. He just took off his hand.
Dhiyo yo prachodaya.
So Swami chanted, Om Shanti, Shanti. Shanti, he was still scared to take his hand to Bhagwan's feet. That is the cosmic Lord that we are so fortunate to live in the presence. There was this occasion when Professor Kasturi used to go to Bhagwan, and every month he had this chance to go to Bhagwan and ask for an article. You know, all the articles that you see in the Sanatana Sarthi, be it Vidya Vahini, Upanishad Vahini, Prema Vahini, everything Bhagwan himself had written from 1958 to 1984. Every month Bhagwan used to write these articles. In fact, even now there are these manuscripts, and if you look at these manuscripts, you'll be really stunned at the way Bhagwan used to write. You take up any manuscript and you see Bhagwan, how Bhagwan has written. He would not waste even as much space as an ant can crawl. There are these manuscripts in our archives. When Bhagwan moved to the new building in Yajur Mandir, the boy who was looking after Bhagwan, he came to know that Bhagwan sometimes used to write. So he kept a notebook in Bhagwan's bedroom. He didn't know how actually to serve, but he was just trying to figure out, watching Swami. So one day he kept a notebook, and then he saw that after a few days, Swami has started writing something. So he felt very happy. Wow, you know, Swami didn't tell me directly, I understood this. I kept the notebook, and now Swami is utilizing it. So very happy. And he saw, but you know, it's so funny. Why is Swami like writing everywhere? I mean, there's not a space left on either side, top, bottom. He said, okay, maybe Swami is thinking, you know, there's just one notebook. So he kept four more notebooks. And Swami, you can relax. You can take your own pace to write. And he saw after a few days, Swami writes in the same fashion. That is the cosmic Swami. And this is the same Swami when he comes down in a human form. He teaches us how to lead our life. And I was talking about telling you Professor Kasturi. So one occasion when he went to Swami to ask for an article, so Swami was writing at that time on Upanishad Vahini, and time was already up. You know, it's a very difficult job as an editor of the Sanatana Sarathi, because you know, you have to publish things at a particular time. You cannot postpone, because the whole printing process, subscribers and everything is all set up. Nothing can be delayed. People have paid for the subscriptions and so on. So time is running out, and how do you go and tell Swami, Swami, please, please, you know what, you have to give it today, it's getting late. How can you do that with Swami? So one day he went and he pleaded with Swami, and he says how that day, looking at Professor Kasturi's desperation, Swami just did like this and gave him. It was an exposition of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Anantam ritam Purna Omkara Rupam Param Sadgurum
Sainatham bhajeham Param Sadgurum Sainatham bhajeham Param Sadgurum Sainatham bhajeham.
I really express my deep sense of gratitude to Bhagwan for having given me this opportunity to be amongst you and to reflect on his message and his glory. I started with the Gayatri Mantra, and I will come back to it again towards the later part if there is time. But before that, let me take you to Vrindavan, because Vrindavan always brings such beautiful memories. I was fortunate to be a part of that campus, and now you are blessed to be a part of that campus. And you look at every part of Vrindavan, you look at every pillar of Vrindavan, every leaf of Vrindavan, and I'm not joking, it's not poetry. Every flower of Vrindavan, it's not poetry. There have been occasions when Swami would go, Swami has touched a bud in Vrindavan, and immediately that bud has blossomed into a flower. There have been occasions when Swami has taken a leaf, a tulsi leaf, and given it to a boy, and it had become a golden coin. There have been occasions when Swami has resurrected lives in Vrindavan. You take the history of the hostel, you take the history of the library, you take the history of the stores where Swami has visited and sat for so many occasions. Take the history of the institute auditorium where summer courses used to be held year after year. That is where summer course actually started. The history of summer course is so entwined with Vrindavan. It's the first college that Swami set up in 1969. Prashanti came much later. Today is the anniversary. Oh, wonderful. So I urge you to explore Vrindavan, because I don't know how many of you know the story of how the Vrindavan hostel came up. I don't know how many of you know the story of how the stores came up. How there was before a Sairam shed with a beautiful Krishna statue, and how Swami inaugurated that statue. He put a flute on that Krishna. I mean, there are amazing memories of Vrindavan, and the crest jewel of the Vrindavan environment is... Crest jewel is a very often repeated word, is it? I hear a lot of rumors, murmurs. Okay. The most beautiful aspect of Vrindavan is the Trayi sessions. All of you must have heard about it. So many would have spoken to you. Trayi sessions were the sessions which Bhagwan had exclusively for the students. And it was in these sessions that minds got molded, hearts got healed. Lives were transformed, lives were resurrected. I have seen an occasion when life was resurrected. And I thought I will take you through some instances of how this Param Sadguru, this divine teacher, used this environment in Vrindavan. The Vrindavan is, as many used to say, Vrindavan was Swami's home, if Prashanti was Swami's office. In fact, Vrindavan is, I would say, Bhagwan's playground. It's not for any trivial reason that Swami has named it Vrindavan, like the Vrindavan of the Dwapar Yuga. So there is so much to it, and I thought I will just share about 2-3 alumni of the Vrindavan campus. This dates back to 1994. Three boys, they joined the Vrindavan campus from Kerala. They were fast friends. So once they joined the campus, everything seemed very odd. What is this? I mean, life in Vrindavan, like in any other hostel, it's between two bells, as they say. You know, first bell, get up, second bell, start walking. First bell, make it, form your line, second bell, you start moving. Whole life is between two bells, and you cannot really go out. You cannot do anything. There is no adventure. You know, it's very insipid for them. And they were used to a very different kind of life. And so these three boys, one of them was very restless. So one night, they were sitting in the dining hall, and they were doing group study, all these three boys. Just a few days, they have joined the ashram, and one of them said, you know what, I actually went out today and smoked. And the other two boys were stunned to silence. You know, how to react? I mean, we've been telling him, don't do this, man. He said, see, you guys told me that we cannot do anything. Everybody's watching. Teachers will come to know. Students will come to know. It's very scary. Even don't get into all these things, you know. But he said, see, I have done it. No one knows about it. Even you didn't know. I had to tell you. The warden doesn't know. The teachers don't know. No one knows. So don't try to get too much finicky about rules and all, okay? It's okay. So one boy, he didn't know how to react of the two. One boy said, yeah, that's fine, but how do you know that Swami also doesn't know? So this boy thought for a while and said, okay, if Swami tells me don't smoke, then I will not smoke. He told, okay, at least till then, you know, you don't do that again, yeah? I mean, we are three friends, very good friends. We don't want to really lose you. We have come here. Please, at least till then. We don't know how it is going to happen, if it is going to happen, but please hold on. He said, okay. So a couple of days passed, and in Vrindavan, how you had the chance, you have that chance to go inside Tirai Vrindavan, you know, in lines, you first go and take your place in the Sai Ramesh Hall, and bhajans are over, and they went into the Tirai Vrindavan, and that day it so happened that all three of them, they were not aware of this actually. All three of them were sitting in the first line at different points. They didn't plan it that way actually. It just happened that all three of them were sitting in the first line and they were in the front in Tirai. And Bhagwan came and the session went on. And towards the end of the session, what generally happens is one boy gets the chance to offer a rose and another boy gets the chance to offer arati. And the boy who offers arati, the way it used to happen at that time is, you take the arati plate and you keep the matchbox on top of it. Swami would himself take the matchbox, he would himself light it, and then, you know, you quickly move the arati stand from your right hand to the left hand so that you are in time to receive the matchbox from Swami's hand in your right hand. That's good manners. You have to take it in your right hand. So you wait for Swami to light it and shift your arati and be ready to receive. You know, it's actually for many boys who treasure that. You receive something directly from Swami, they would treasure that matchbox. So that day, the one boy offered rose, and similarly another boy came and he offered arati, and Swami took the matchbox, Swami lit the arati, and then this boy was waiting to receive the matchbox from Swami. Swami just turned, threw the matchbox to another boy, looked at him and said, I'm giving you a matchbox, but don't smoke. That was it. After that day, there was never any doubt. That was one magical moment that transformed him forever. There was this other boy who was a brilliant singer. He joined the Vrindavan campus and, you know, all the boys are telling, you ask Swami for chance to sing, yeah, you sing so well, you should be singing every day, what is this? So he takes that advice and he writes letters to Swami and he, you know, he tries his best to get Bhagwan's attention. So when Bhagwan is coming, he would get up and he would give his letter and Swami would say, marriage? Marriage karta hai? He'd be stumped, you know, so he'll sit down. Other day again, Swami, please, Swami, I want to lead, leader banta hai? Swami, please, Swami, I want to sing, Swami. Interview Kawali? Hey boy, give him interview. So he was going on, and he just got frustrated. And his, you know, all the classmates are saying, hello, come on, yeah, just ask Swami, you're missing this opportunity. Days are passing, Swami will go back. He didn't know what to do. And out of desperation, he started praying. And one of these days, when Bhagwan was speaking in Tirai Vrindavan, Swami said, he sang that beautiful song he used to sing, Adugaku Eo Manasa. Adugaku Eo Manasa. Swami used to sing very sweetly actually, which means that, O mind, do not ever ask God for anything. If you ask, it will be delayed, maybe denied. Don't ask. It's like you go and you pray to God, God, I want an iPhone 4. I want an iPhone 4. Really, I'm serious. I want iPhone 4. I'm decided. iPhone 4. That's it. Now God says, okay, you want iPhone 4. Actually, I wanted to give you iPhone 5. It's just coming. Maybe it's already come, but if you want iPhone 4, I mean, that's what you want. What can I do? So we should not ask God because we really do not know what is good for us. What is good for us at any point in time, He is the best judge. So He knows what to give. So all you say is, Swami, I surrender to you. Whatever is good for me, you know, please do it. I accept thy will. So that is one approach. And of course, there have been times when Swami would say that if you have any prayer to God, you must persevere. Never return from the doors of heaven unless your wish is granted. There have been times when Bhagavan has told that also. That's why Bhagavan's lectures, Bhagavan's discourses are called mixtures. Because, you know, Swami is all the time answering to different prayers. Sometimes you will find Bhagavan's discourse in one particular theme. Sometimes you will find different themes coming in. Because he's all the time in tune with the cravings and the prayers of so many people. So on that day, this boy thought, this is the message that Swami is giving me. Swami is telling, do not ask. So I will not ask. He decided, I'm not going to ask. His friends told, that is not the right approach. Yeah, you have to ask. No. Swami told that you should not ask. And the next day, Swami came for three session. As the session began, Swami looked at the warden sir and he asked, Kotta pillalu paata vaadu unnara? Are there any new boys who have joined who can sing? And then immediately warden mentioned about him. And in front of Bhagwan, his audition happened and he started singing. So this kind of confirmed in his mind that anything you have to do, you can always offer your prayer to Bhagwan and it will be taken care of. He was very confirmed in this belief. And later when he came to Prashanthi Nilayam, it so happened that he just saw that after some days, he saw that his name is not appearing in the bhajan list. He goes and sits in the bhajan group and his name is not there, his number is not there. So one day he was not given the chance. So he thought, okay, maybe they want to give chance to someone else. He was actually a very exceptional singer. So him not getting chance was unusual. So next day he saw again, it is not there. Third day, again his name is not there. Now he started thinking, there is something happening here. And then after a few days, one of the boys came and told, Siya, the thing is, Swami has commented something on your voice. And it was a shock. Oh my God. And now if Swami has commented something on my voice, there's nothing that I can do. I mean, if it's a music teacher who had any problem with me, I can go and tell him, I will practice, sir, please give me one more chance. If someone else had a problem, I can sort it out. But Swami, what can I do? I mean, unless Swami again says that, yeah, it is fine, you allow him to sing, and you know, when it will happen, if it will happen, what is going to happen to me? He was in his post-graduation days, and absolutely devastated. You know, if you are, you don't know how it is, if you are in the bhajan group, and suddenly you realize you are out of the bhajan group, it's almost like you've lost your identity. Because the bhajan group has always been such a privileged group, because you always had the chance to sit in front, be it any occasion, any festival, and most of the time, you had the chance even to accompany Bhagwan if he went anywhere. So, you know, all those things are going on in his mind and he's in his post-graduation. He'll be going out in a few months and here this catastrophe has struck. He doesn't know what to do. And there are these boys who came and told, Siya, we have to write a letter to Swami. Write a letter. You have to tell Swami. And he said, how can I do it? I mean, I have not done that. I got my singing chance without writing a letter to Swami. And now you are asking me to write a letter to Swami to start singing again. So the senior says, up to you, yeah. If you want to sing, write a letter, ask Swami. And the Akhand Bhajan is round the corner, Akhand Bhajan starts. And during the Akhand Bhajan, the evening session, the Akhand Bhajan has started and Swami is returning to his residence after the evening session. And he was sitting towards the end of the bhajan hall. One of the seniors who was sitting in the bhajan group just beckoned him to come. So he took, it was a pleasant surprise. Someone from the bhajan group is actually calling him. So he jumps at the opportunity and goes and sits. And only after he sits there, he realizes that actually he was not the one who was called. There was another guy sitting beside him who is also a singer. He was actually calling that boy. But somehow in his enthusiasm and, you know, for the desperation, he thought maybe they were calling me. So he went and sat. And because he was a respected singer and you could not question his musical skills, so the others could not just tell him, hey, hello, don't come. So, we just allowed him, okay, he sat there. And, okay, he's already sat, you know, you've called him, and so give him a chance, yeah. Swami is anyway gone, you know, Swami is returning to Yajur Mandir. So, they gave him the mic. He sang with a lot of devotion, just crying his heart out. He doesn't know whether he will get one more chance again to sing. Oh, Bhagavan. O Bhagavan, arj suno mere,
Sai Bhagava.
So that bhajan, such a very beautiful bhajan. He said, I just put my heart and soul into that bhajan that day. And I thought, this is the last chance I'm going to get to sing. Swami's gone. Fine. Chapter close. The next morning, bhajan started. And because he had sung the previous day, you know, the seniors in the bhajan group said, it's okay, you know, let him sit, no problem. Let him sit in the bhajan group, it's okay. And what used to happen in those days is, Swami used to go for drama rehearsal. After sitting for a few minutes in the Akhand Bhajan, Swami would just go to the Institute Auditorium to see the convocation drama. That was the usual practice for many years. So Swami had come and sat for the bhajan for an hour or so and then gone to the interview room. So what everyone expected is, Swami would come out of the interview room and then you would ask for the car and go to the auditorium because everyone is prepared and they are ready to welcome Swami in the auditorium. So once Swami went to the interview room and it was almost an hour, so they thought it's fine, you know, this boy has not got chance. Swami is inside, just give him a chance. So they gave the mic to him and he started singing.
Sankata Harana Shri Sai Ramana.
He started singing and Swami came out of the interview room. Now everyone is scared. The guy who gave him the chance and the guy who is singing also, because his thought, now if Swami sees me singing, you don't know what is going to happen. And the guy who has given him the chance, also they thought, I mean, Swami has commented something on him, now we are giving him a chance, everybody is going to be in deep soup. Why did we do this foolhardy thing? Anyway, Swami is coming out, so they thought, okay, anyway, Swami will just go to the auditorium. That's what exactly happened. Swami came out of the interview room and Swami was walking down. Suddenly he turned, he came back. And he sat in the bhajans. And everyone is petrified. This boy just closed his eyes, continued to sing, praying. You can imagine what will be the desperation in his heart. And that bhajan is such a beautiful bhajan, offering salutations to Bhagwan. Namo, namo, it goes on. Bhajan ended. Everyone breathed a sigh of relief. Swami just casually looked at him. It was a sort of a half smile. You couldn't really make out whether Swami was happy or unhappy. You couldn't really make out anything. Then Swami asked for the car and Swami went to the auditorium. In the evening, he was actually very scared. What is going to happen now? Swami has seen me singing. In the evening, to his utter surprise, he's seeing that his name figures on the top. 1, 2, 3 bhajan slots, his name is there. Very happy, he sings to his heart's content. When he's returning, someone calls him, hey, you know what? Swami is talking about you, man. When? In the Institute Auditorium. Wow, what did he say? He said, Swami was telling that this Akhand Bhajan, you know, boys, they're not behaving properly. When the ladies are singing, there are some boys who are trying to fix the shruti of the next bhajan. They are putting their ears to the harmonium and they're constantly figuring out the shruti of the next bhajan and thinking of the next bhajan instead of following what the sisters are singing. But mana parrot voice unnadu. Swami used to call him parrot voice. Chudu, mana parrot voice unnadu. Letter rasyadu. Swami, please give me one more chance to sing, Swami. I don't want anything, Swami. The only wish I have, Swami, please give me this one chance, Swami, to sing. And he has also written, Swami, I don't even want to play harmonium. That boy should never play harmonium. I don't even want to play harmonium, Swami, just give me one chance to sing. And you boys, you fiddle around with harmonium and all that. Look at that boy, he says, I don't want to play harmonium. And he only wants to say, I want to sing. This is what Bhagwan had mentioned in the Institute Auditorium. And that is what had changed everything. The planet had come back on its axis for this boy, at least. But the icing on the cake is this. This boy, he told me personally, had never written that letter. He had never written that letter. Swami confirmed him in his faith that if you have a prayer, you don't have to put down in black and white and offer it to me, get up and give it to me. You have a prayer, if you're sincere, it will reach me. And it definitely reached him. And to the boy, to the senior, who always advised him that you write a letter, only then Bhagwan will respond. That boy was there when Swami was telling in the institute auditorium, this letter has come. And that boy felt so happy. See, I was telling this guy, finally he took my advice, he wrote a letter, and see how Swami responded. So that boy is confirmed in his faith. That if you only write a letter to Swami, Swami will respond. He is confirmed in his faith that all you have to do is look for him within. He told one occasion when Swami didn't call so many boys for 3 sessions for successive days. It was in 94. And after 3-4 days, he said, when we went inside, Swami asked, do you know why I didn't call you? The reason that Swami was giving was he's having cold and he's not well or something. So Swami said, do you know why I didn't call you all these 3 days? It is because I wanted to teach you to look for Swami within. And for this boy, that has been such a tremendous source of support, a pillar to hold on to. In the recent events, when what happened with April 2011, you know, that was the statement that he held on to. And he sailed through that disastrous phase of his life. There are many, many beautiful experiences of this student, but I really want to take you through one more journey. And this person is very closely associated with the Vrindavan campus. As I was telling you, you should explore Vrindavan. There is very beautiful anecdotes. The Gulab Kunwarba block, that is what the hostel is named. And it is the name of the Rajmata. There is this Vrindavan ashram, that is the building that you see between the hostel and the college is the Rajmata's house. And she was a very, very pious lady, very devoted lady, who had done immense service to Bhagwan. And there is this beautiful story of how Swami fulfilled one of her wishes. Her grandson, his name is Indreshwar. He is also an alumnus of the Vrindavan campus, and I heard this story directly from him. And I thought I should share this with you because it has many beautiful lessons. He did his 10th class up to his 10th in Rajkot, in Rajkumar school in Rajkot. And this Rajkumar school was, as the name suggests, it was for the princes. It was a very elite school, and all the boys were into a lot of adventure and everything. And he had very beautiful friends there, very good company there. And the 10th class was over, and they were all planning what to do next. And they had all decided, you know, we are going to go to Xavier's College in Mumbai. And that is the time to have fun, bikes, cars. They were all very rich families. So bikes, cars, the Rajputs, do some lot of adventure. I mean, have fun. If while doing all this, some education gets rubbed, that's okay, you know. But have time, have fun. That was the whole idea of them. So they had decided, we are going to go into Xavier's College. And they worked out their plan. And this boy comes back home very happy. His future plans chalked out. And his grandmother asks him, Gopal, his nickname was Gopal. Gopal, exams are over. He says, yes. And he says, how about going to Prashantinilayam? And he is speechless. He actually, tears start streaming down his cheeks. And his grandmother, oh my God, I never knew my grandson has so much love for Swami. You mention about Prashantinilayam, tears. It's like what Ramakrishna Paramahansa used to say, if you have devotion for God, the moment the name Rama or Krishna is uttered, your whole being should exult in ecstasy. You know, that was his grandmother was, wow, what a grandson I have. And here, he's like, oh my God, now what's this? It's like, you know, you built your beautiful castle and a bulldozer comes and just down to earth, you know. It's not that he didn't have love for Bhagwan. I mean, Swami had named him. Swami was very much a part of their lives, but he said, Puttaparthi, I mean, that is not a place for me. Come on, I have seen all those guys. They'll just come sit for hours in Mandir, do bhajans and go back. Oh my God, what am I going to do with my life? I don't want to be a goody-goody fellow like that. Please, I want adventure. He couldn't do anything. His grandmother said, we'll go for one day and come. He said, okay, fine, one day, right? But he's still scared because Puttaparthi is a very mysterious place. Because you would go there, you don't know what is going to happen. Whole plans could change, anything, nothing has happened, but you know, the fears are there. Because you don't know, because they have gone to Puttaparthi and their lives have changed multiple times, in different ways. So grandmother says, we'll go, and so they come to Prashantinilayam, and one day, they just somehow just sail through this one day, you know. Then my life, at least future, will be secure. Much to his dismay, Swami calls his grandmother for interview, and because Swami called grandmother, he also has to go in, so they go into the interview room, and I just hope Swami doesn't talk about my education. I mean, he's got million things to do, to look after so many things. Central Trust, grandmother was a member of the Central Trust, 100 things to do. I mean, why should we be worried about my education? And that's exactly what happened. The conversation went on, and Swami was talking about everything else, and he breathed a sigh of, why, thank God, all my fears are unfounded. Just then, Rajmata, Gopal ka education kya karta hai? And he just took that opportunity. He jumped. He said, Swami, I have finished my 10th class in Rajkot, in Rajkumar's college. I have done extremely well. And I have also thought what I am going to do. I am going to go to St. Xavier's College. I am going to join the armed forces. It's only 1 or 2 years training program, Swami. And after that, I will be joining the army. Everything is fine with me, Swami. Actually, you know what? Almost saying, don't worry about me, please. Just leave me. Swami heard that. And Swami looked at the Rajmata, and Rajmata says, Swami, my only cherished wish, greatest desire, Swami, my grandson ko apne charan mein le lo, Swami. It's like, oh my God, what is this? I mean, you know, it is a Rajput family. The family traditions are very strict. I've seen him talking to his father. You know, he would always say, Ji, hukum, you are not supposed to speak in between when the elders are speaking. The rules of discipline and courtesy and politeness, especially when you are dealing with elders, is of very high standard. You cannot really break those rules. So when his grandmother said something, you know, he just shut his mouth. Just could not say anything. And just thinking, praying, what will happen now? Who is that to my rescue? Okay. And guess what? Who comes to his rescue? Swami himself. Swami says, Rajmata, Gopal, what he's telling is right. Theek bolta hai. We can take him in our college, but... And Swami looks at him. And he's like, it's like Swami scanning his entire 15 years, what has happened, good, bad and ugly, everything that he has done. He's like Swami scanning everything. He's so scared now what will come out of Swami's mouth. And Swami says, Rajmata, dekho, Gopal ko non-veg pasand hai. And Gopal agreed. Yes, Swami. I like non-veg, Swami. And Swami went on to narrate, see how on Mondays and Thursdays, when they don't have non-veg in your home, how you used to go out to the outside joints and used to have your fill. And how on another occasion you were with these friends, on another occasion you were with these friends. So all that Swami started. And he agreed. Yes, Swami. Correct, Swami. Yes, Swami. I went, Swami. Because he thought if that is a qualification needed for him to disqualify from entering the college, so be it. No problem. If for that reason he is not taken inside the college, fantastic. Okay, so he said, yes, Swami. And it was going on. And then Swami looked at Rajmata and said, Kabhi Bharati ke paas jata hai, kabhi Reshma ke paas jata hai. And his face just became red. You know, where to hide? His grandmother looked at him and he almost felt if he can just disappear, you know, just become air. I mean, what is this? How to explain? Actually, Bharati and Reshma were food joints. That's all. The one was a omelette joint and one was a kebab joint, okay? And he used to like both of them and used to go there regularly. But the way Swami said it and the way grandmother reacted to it, he thought that's all he's done for. Okay. And so the moment grandmother heard this, she just flung herself on Swami's feet. Swami, please, please look after him. The whole Rajput clan is like that. I know, Swami, they have this genetic defect. They overindulge. They have all these problems. Swami, please. Swami, you don't know the Rajputs. I have seen them for generations. Swami, if you don't do anything, Swami, his soul will go into oblivion. You have to do something. So, ended. There is nothing that he could do. Only at that time he realized that he was actually fighting a lost battle. Okay. So, came out of the interview room. Doesn't know what to do about life. All those dreams have all gone. He goes back to Rajkot and his good friends. Don't worry, man. No tension. So, they tell him, what is this? You have to write an entrance test, right? Entrance is there. Interview is there. Why are you getting silly fellow? Why are you getting so scared? Use your intelligence. Okay. He said, okay, fine, got it. Just flunk the entrance here. Yeah. That's all simple. What is the big deal? So, that's what he decides to do. And as the days were going on, one of the Sai devotees comes around to their house and he says, Gopal, how are you preparing for the entrance test? I know you will really do well. You will keep up the name of your family. I mean, your family has such a great history and I know you will really come out well. And at that point it strikes him, shucks, I mean, if I flunk the entrance, what they will think of me? Because the family's prestige was paramount. I mean, you go around showing off as a very smart cookie of the Rajput family, you couldn't clear a silly entrance test, what they'll think of you? So he said, shucks, man, I cannot do this. Just clear the entrance. At least they have no doubts about my IQ level, at least. After that, interview is not my responsibility. I mean, things anywhere, anything can go wrong. The teachers might be crazy there, anything can happen. Entrance, I will just clear. So he studies very well, he writes the entrance, he clears the entrance. Then comes the interview. And in the interview panel, they ask him, do you know any bhajans? And he says, see, bhajans are nice. But actually, when bhajans are going on, I have many times many important things to do. So I generally don't participate in bhajans. So he tried to tell it as politely as he could that, you know, hello, I'm not of this wavelength, please. So then the panel asks him, okay, no problem. Can you sing any song? Any movie song? He said, oh yeah, fantastic. He said, movie song, sure, why not? He thought, if I sing a movie song, it'll make it absolutely clear where my heart is. Absolutely, they'll have no doubts about where I'm coming from and what I want to be in life. So he sings. At that time, the famous movie was Ram Teri Ganga Meli. Okay, it was in the 80s, late 80s, I remember. So the song goes like, Ram Teri Ganga Meli Ho Gai Paapiyon Ke Paap Dhote Dhote. That is what the song was. It's not some devotional film by any stretch of imagination. It's just that this song was happened to be there in that film. So he sings that song gleefully. And then he thinks, at least now it is settled. And then the interview panel says, in fact, they seem to enjoy what you are singing. They said, you're so good. You're so rooted in your culture. What is this? What is the right thing I did now, man? Shucks. They talk among themselves, look at this boy. Even though we asked him to sing a movie song, he's singing about Rama, he's singing about Ganga, he's singing about Paap Dhona. He's talking about Papas being Paap Dhona. What is it? When he's really got his heart in the right place. We should have him in our... We should mold his character. Congratulations, Gopal. So that is how Bhagwan, the divine master, the Sadguru, molds every individual who comes into his fold. Gopal, this Indreshwar sir used to say, Swami told him once that when you were in Rajkot, you wanted to make a man out of yourself. When you joined the college, you learned to become a gentleman out of yourself. And when you leave the portals and try to implement whatever you have learned here, you will learn to find God in yourself. There are many beautiful incidents that's come to my mind, but I think time is up. So I will pause here, some other occasion maybe. But before I end, I just thought that I will share with you, just 5 minutes I will take, and I will just share with you about the Gayatri Mantra, because this is something which sir tells me that all of you are chanting it very passionately in the mornings. I just want to share with you that it is such a profound mantra. I started with the Gayatri Mantra and I told you the amazing relation, cosmic relationship that this mantra has with Bhagwan, with the physical body of Bhagwan. You found what is the relationship it has. And there are so many instances. There's this researcher, J.B.S. Haldane. is an Englishman, English researcher who came to India and did a lot of research in neurosciences as well as in biology. And he stayed in Orissa, etc., etc. And in the end, you know, in his research work, he says that the Gayatri Mantra should be inscribed in the laboratory of every institution. See, this is what comes out of a lot of research. See, you know, that's our human tendency. You know, if something comes via science, we always accept it, we always grab it. But if something comes via our culture and spirituality, we think it is all superstition, you know. The only difference is our ancient sages and saints, they have also done that whole research, but they have gone within and done that research. And instead of, you can't really understand, they can't put that into formulas. You have to go. So they have made it rituals. They made it a part of our custom and tradition to follow these things. And this holds true for everything in the hostel. Everything that is laid down in the hostel, though it may sound very cliche to you, it may sound very boring, it may sound like a hammering, but I want to tell you this because now I feel that it is so very important whether you realize it or not. I'm not telling this because sir has asked me to tell this. Everything that is there in the hostel, the whole routine, it's actually only later you will realize how immensely beneficial it is. And the Gayatri Mantra especially, I'm telling you, if you chant this mantra, there's so much research about how your IQ level will improve. And that is one of the reasons why you will find, you know, generally you find a lot of South Indians, especially Tamilians, you will find in most of the scientific establishments. You take up Google, you take up Yahoo, you take up Oracle, you know, you see the names of the contributors, first or second maybe an American name, and after that there will be a host of Sethuraman, Srinivasan and Shivaraman. The reason is because in the South, the tradition to chant the Gayatri Mantra through the Sandhya Vandanam is so much part of the culture. That's why the Sandhya Vandanam is such an important thing. In fact, there was in 1965 when Bhagwan conducted the Upanayanam, the big story, Swami wanted the Upanayanam to be held in the month of February and everybody opposed it all. Swami, exams are going on, no one will come, etc., etc. And Swami puts his foot down, no, it has to be done, I want to do it. And 450 boys come in spite of strikes and all that. A lot of things are happening in the country at that point in time. The 450 students come, Swami himself does the Upanayanam, and in the end, Swami says, all who had their desire to come are now before me. This is my will. 450 boys have come here today, and then he added, no one knew except myself that there were these seeds of earned merit awaiting the showers of grace in the heritage of these boys. And I want to tell you that this is what holds true even now. You have no clue about the seeds of merit that is awaiting the showers of grace once you have stepped into the portals of Bhagwan's university. You will realize it only later. Appreciate every moment. And what I would say is explore Vrindavan and experiment. Like the brother who experimented with prayer, experiment with prayer, experiment with Gayatri Mantra, experiment with goodness, experiment with love, experiment with non-violence. You will never find a better laboratory to do all these experiments. You will never find such a beautiful environment to do all that. And it's not as if Swami physically is not there, you cannot do those experiments. Just the other day I was speaking to one boy who has joined the Central Trust very recently, and you know, he was telling in 2011, that was the final year that he was with Bhagwan, and he was feeling after 2011, he was just looking through his diary and he saw that there were, just counting all the blessings that he's got, and there were 49 Padmaskarams that he had got. He felt very happy. Okay, nice. 1 year, 49 Padmaskarams. But he felt sad. Just one more, Swami. I had just hit half century. And that night, Swami comes in his dream. Tisko. Swami tells him, take Namaskar. So, it is. So, the Sadguru is all the time ready. Swami is all the time ready. Sadguru is ever on the alert. Sadguru is just waiting to shower his grace. Let's open up our hearts. And I tell you, start this process of experimenting with love, with goodness, with prayer, and your life will be beautiful. Thank you so much for your patient listening.